Hello again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles Podcast with Dave and Chris. And we are going to talk about an album today that is 50 years old. And also, we've had some clamoring for it in the past, I think. So we've had some people, not quite as much as Back to the Egg, but we've had some people request that we do a review of Wings' first album, Wildlife. And so here we are. This album is very controversial, very interesting in its background, and also at the time of Paul's solo career. So if you, to give a little perspective here, this he'd already recorded McCartney by himself. Yeah. Then he did Ram.
Considered one of the top albums of the 70s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then Ram, which I just saw on a top five of 1971. And 1971, you know, there's that Apple TV Plus documentary, 1971, the year that music changed everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been watching that. And they haven't gotten to any of the Paul stuff yet, but I'm sure that Ram's going to be part of the conversation.
Oh, yeah.
So off of two, like, colossal, like, well, not, maybe not colossal, but at the time.
Yeah,
but
not at the time.
Successes.
Then we get this one.
Yeah. Then we get this one.
Yes, and it's now you and I are both huge Bob Dylan fans, and
yes.
Supposedly the impetus for this album, because it was recorded in about a week, it was recorded from July 25th to August 2nd, 1971 at Abbey Road, so it was done very quickly. Supposedly, Paul McCartney and Bob Dylan got together at some point and had a conversation, and McCartney asked Bob about how he does his recording so fast, and it was for the spontaneity of everything. First of all, do you see Paul and Bob getting on very well? And then also, what do you think about that as kind of the general theme of this album? Is very quick, very like, well, capturing lightning in a bottle sort of thing.
Well, that's funny because I was going to mention that the album feels to me a little underbaked.
Yeah, yeah.
And I attributed it to this sort of pace that Paul had been on his whole career with the Beatles, of two albums a year, got to get another one out, let's just keep working. And Paul, you know, is a notorious kind of workaholic. Well, he'd had two solo albums under his belt at this point, and it just seemed to me like, oh, maybe just wanted to, oh, let's put this band together. Okay, let's do it. Let's go. Let's, you know, just going without. When forming a new band, the Beatles formed, and then their first, obviously, they didn't have a record contract, so they needed to get a record. They needed to get the experience to get a record contract. So by that, the nature of that, they practiced a lot.
Right.
Worked on their material and worked their material up and had it to a certain level, and then did their release, and it was a big, huge success. So with Wings, this is a new project he's starting. Sure, he's Paul McCartney and a huge talent. Sure, Denny Lane's got a lot of experience, but is the band together and gelling? Are the songs up to snuff?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are they being rewritten and oh, let's take that out, let's put this one in, that's a better song. No, it's just kind of, to me, rushed and put together very quickly. Some of the results of that are interesting and good in retrospect, especially now.
Mm-hmm.
And some is, you know, I don't know. So it's interesting, though, that you said that it was Dylan and his pace of work that spurred Paul here. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I find it interesting. But I mean, Dylan can record in a week, but he's also recording like Desolation Row and like a Rolling Stone and these tremendous works. And then here we've got the first two track titles are Mumbo and Bip Bop. So, I mean, you know, just putting into perspective. Okay, so this is Paul's idea. You know, you've made fun of this before, but when Paul, why did he form Wings? Because he wanted to just be the bass player. You know, just he just wanted to be in a band and be the bass player. And so here.
Well, then why is he singing all the songs?
Right.
Except for, you know, why is he the lead singer too?
He and his wife.
He just wants to be the bass player, then, you know.
Right.
Join the Rolling Stones. Hey, can I just be the bass player for you? Right. You know, just hang out and be the bass player.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's ridiculousness.
Yes, because it's obviously going to be Paul McCartney's band. And so he's kept on Denny Sywell from the Ram album. And then he needed another guitarist, or needed a guitarist, so he ended up getting Denny Lane.
And I have to say, they both sound good. Nobody, like, instrumentally, the band sounds pretty decent. They don't quite have that wing sound yet.
No. You know, it's a little bar band, a little rough, I think.
Yeah, it's very rough. Very like it seems like the album to me. It seems like a really great practice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
So and some of the songs are very very rough, but we'll get track to track. You're gonna do a full track by track.
Oh yeah.
Album proper.
Well, and that's actually part of the issue here. How much of this album's the way we think about it is because of the fact that it got terrible reviews when it came out. It was completely panned by Rolling Stone, by every magazine. It was pretty awful. And you know, nowadays you look back, and we've had the anniversary McCartney package and reissue, remix, all that stuff. How does that change your opinion? Because at the time, Paul, that's why they did Red Rose Speedway and made it more commercial sounding, because this was so poorly received. But how much do you think that the critics changed the way, or made us think the way we do?
Well, I always think that clouds perception. And if you go online and just look for rankings of Paul McCartney albums, this is almost always well towards the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah.
On occasion, you'll have people be like, you know, hey, this is a little underrated, you know. And I do think it is a little underrated. It still doesn't necessarily make it one of the better Paul McCartney albums by no means. Just by its nature and by its being panned like that, it's almost like anything on the album is going to be underrated because it's. The album is thought of so poorly.
Yeah, yeah.
Historically, that if it's like, oh, you know, I really like Love is Strange or something, then it's like, oh, that's the most underrated Paul song.
And in a way, I remember also seeing this somewhere, but they said, Paul McCartney can never make a completely terrible album. Paul is always consistent. If nothing else, it doesn't have the huge peaks and valleys of some other stars and other artists. There's always something good on the album, or it's always well produced, or it's always well played, or there's something redeeming on every McCartney album, and this would be no exception. I think there is some good stuff on here, but like you said, it was a good word you used for underbaked, I think, and you know, it just needed a little more effort and time on it.
Yeah, and if it was gonna, I wonder if his intention. This is the other thing that I thought about. I wonder if his intention by making it Wings is he's like, they're going to give us a leeway because it's not a Paul McCartney album. It's a new side project band. Nowadays, if somebody did this, they'd be like, oh, it's, you know, it's Paul's side project. No big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we're so used to that, I think, at this point. Whereas back in the day, if, you know, it's not like any of the many bands that Eric Clapton were in or were thought of as side projects.
No.
It's like, you know, you listen to an album and you're like, expect the best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And with Paul McCartney, you got to be the best. And if it falls a little bit short,
you're going to hear about
really
it.
Really rough, or there's a mumbo on the you know, a nonsense. More than one nonsense song on the album. quite a few, actually.
Yeah.
And two things that I just really will tear into. But
we'll get there.
On the album that are just absolute head scratching. But you're going to get that criticism. So I think it wouldn't be as bad today if it was like, because you know how I know? The Fireman. It's not like The Fireman was like, oh, this is so terrible, blah, 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 blah.
No.
And The Fireman stuff's pretty experimental and, you know, not, you know, 100% great, but he's not getting raked over the coals because he's doing an odd, weird album. So I think the intention behind doing it was honorable and pure. I think maybe the mistake was trying to record it so quickly, not taking the time to like really write some really, really fantastic songs. And yeah, if they came out with an album of just like phenomenal stuff under this new name Wings, then it wouldn't have taken them a couple more years to really rebound up to the Band on the Run kind of huge success that was.
Yeah. I feel like this is another, yet Ram was more commercial and it was done in a studio and more professional than McCartney was. But I feel that even on Wildlife, he's still not quite ready to come out there and not ready. And he's still kind of working up, who am I? What's my gig going to be now? Now that I'm Paul McCartney, look at John. He's recording Imagine. He's doing this and that. George, All Things Must Pass. And he's got the concert for Bangladesh this year. So Paul's still a little bit finding his legs. And you could see that if you look at the back of the original here, which I bought for 99 cents. I think it was worth it. Whoa. For 99 cents back at Secondhand Tunes in Evanston, Illinois.
All right.
There's liner notes on here by, quote, Clint Harrigan, a.k.a. Paul McCartney, who explains in kind of a cheeky way and sassy way how this came together. But he said, this kind of sums it up. They rehearsed for a while, sang some old songs, wrote some new ones, and in time headed for the big city studios. In 3 days, they had laid down most of the tracks, and by the end of a couple of weeks, the album was finished. And this rapper is the music they made. Can you dig it? So,
well, we're going to find out if Dave can dig it or not.
We'll find out.
If he's a fool or is he true.
Yes. We'll find out.
There's one other thing I wanted to say, Dave, which is we've been going through these archive series.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting here with the vinyl, the two-disc vinyl, and it comes with the original album, and then it comes the second disc is some of the supplemental material, not all of the supplemental material, and I'm confused as to what decisions are made in these archive releases when they come out as big box sets, right? And then what is available for streaming and what isn't? Because in this one, in the box set, there's a second disc that is a bunch of stuff that they call the rough mixes,
which we don't have on streaming.
Which we don't have.
Right.
You can get them. They're out there on YouTube. I don't want to necessarily point people to stuff that's people uploading things that they shouldn't be, but they are out there and you can hear them. And the DVD material, which is I've also seen being out there, if you search for it, is sort of weak. The rough mixes I did like.
Yeah, I did too.
Enjoy the rough mixes. And then there's this third disc, which is I think at the end of this, after we go track by track, we should just kind of talk through some of the bonus stuff on that third disc, because there is some stuff that is essential stuff, and then there's some real clunkers.
Weak.
A lot of the added when these sets come out, the added value is that supplemental material. I'm thinking the companion to this was the Red Rose Speedway.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like the Red Rose Speedway supplemental stuff was so phenomenal.
Yeah, it was.
1882 and all this, yep. You know, the mess from the Life yeah. in the Hague and a bunch of
there
stuff.
There was a
like
Denny
that.
Lane tune that was good on there, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. There was lots of great stuff. This, not so much.
No.
However, the archive, before this, we had that 1993, which we kept joking about, the 1993 remixes.
Yes.
And I feel like the upgrade between the 1993 and this is like night and day,
mm-hmm.
just sonically for the regular album proper.
Yes.
So I'm going to say it's added some value to Wings Wildlife just on cleaning up the
mm-hmm.
being able to hear the guitars and the organs and all of that in a good way.
Yes. Yeah. So and we've seen even in our recent discussions of John Lennon Plastic Ono Band that the remixed remastered original album it wasn't really that much of a revelation because it was already pretty well recorded. That's not yeah. the case here. It wasn't the case for Dark Horse, for George Harrison, or some other ones that really needed some help. And this yeah. one's already lo-fi, so it'll improve with anything you can do. So yeah.
So they successfully did that, and I will say it is helped me enjoy the album a little bit more just yeah. on just the value of like being able to hear all the guitars and
yeah yeah I think so
the singing pretty clearly and that kind of thing.
I think the musicianship on this album, you said it's pretty rushed or it's kind of yeah needed a little more work. There's some good spots here as we get into the song listings here. I think the drumming to me sounds kind of weak for the most part, sort of flaccid drumming. Denny Lane's guitar is sort of anonymous. They would help. That would improve in the next album. But here they're very much sidemen to Paul. Actually, Paul and Linda. I think Linda's quite a active member of this album. You hear her a lot singing.
Oh, for sure. And yeah. I do think that that's where it starts to come together and you start to get that hint of like what's to come wings-wise.
Yes.
Because I do think she's pretty good on a few of the tunes. Obviously, she sings pretty prominently on I Am Your Singer and
mm-hmm.
Love is Strange and a couple of the other tracks. And so I'd give kind of Linda kind of a thumbs up on this one.
Yeah.
And Paul a thumbs pretty as far as performance-wise, pretty thumbs up. Oh,
yeah.
Dave, geesh, we're going to get into some of the, you know what. Here with Paul Histrionic.
Oh, I mean, well, shall we get right into it here? Because yeah, we can start with the first song.
Yeah.
So the album, what a great way to start an album here with a song called Mumbo. And then yeah. at the beginning, Paul says, "Take it, Tony," referring to Tony Clark, one of the engineers. So here we are at 3:58. I'll just get this out of the way right now. For me, a lot of the problem with this album is some of the songs are way too long and repetitive.
Oh, yes.
And that really drags it down. It shows the skimpiness of the material that you have to drag it out to 6 minutes and 4 minutes and really, really too long. And this one is too long. But it's a jam and...
Mumbo lyrics, by the way, in the lyric sheet it says "Take it, Tony," and then it says ad lib.
Yes.
So that's Mumbo for you.
That's Mumbo. Lyrics, great analysis. Lyrics.
It's true, and you know, some Dave. I don't know. How do you feel about Mumbo? Just general. I mean, sometimes I'm in the mood for it.
Yeah.
And the cleaned up version does sound good, like the organ sounds good on it and some of the music stuff. But it is really, truly, I mean, it's nonsense. Obviously.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
ad-libbed nonsense. But some the Paul Histrionic are
fantastic.
All over the place.
Well, right away from the way the note he's singing is not even in the key. It's like way off from, and it's in such a guttural way of singing, Lots of histrionics and
Do you like towards the end where he's good? Ooh. Like he's got it like a different. It's like he's doing like a different character or something almost.
He's trying it all out on this one.
Yeah.
For such a silly improvised type song, there's a lot of musical polish on it. You've got and an earworm, like the music, the bum bum ba da da ba
Yeah.
ba.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great musically
Yeah.
with the
Guitars are
guitars.
really good on it.
Yeah. So even like I said, even with a total nonsense type song, Paul still is able to do something effective in it.
Yeah. Well, this is Exhibit A what I'm talking about when I'm like, could they have written some lyrics instead of I'm little baby? Like you almost have lyrics already, dude.
Yeah, just put something in there.
I'm a people of Bible. I'm a people of play.
It wouldn't
So,
have taken much.
no.
No.
So it holds it back because it really is, like you said, earworm and really good kind of sounding tune. Maybe a little long, like we said, but could have taken the time to write some lyrics for Mumbo and call it something other than Mumbo.
So like something other than like maybe like Bip
Well, now we go to Bebop.
Yeah.
I think we talked about Bebop before for sure, and that it's not great.
No. No. It's got
Put your
that
head in curlers, Wallace. And there's like a really bottom jaw that he does it like a sort of
bet
twangy
your
little.
bottom dollar.
Yeah.
This is like the acoustic. So if you've got Mumbo, which is the electric sound, you've got this, which is the acoustic sound. Again, sort of an earworm.
Yeah.
Bip bop, bip boom bop, bip bop, bip boom bam.
Whip wop whip
Wait.
whoop wham.
You know, it does have what you have the lyrics to that one too in
Yeah,
the
we got
lyric
the
book.
lyrics. Why do you hide your handbag underneath the stand? That's one of the
Oh, I didn't know
lyrics.
that was the lyric. Okay.
Put your hair in curlers, we're gonna see a band. You
Oh.
know that one. It's a, take your bottom dollar, hold it in your hand. But otherwise, it's all bip bop, bip
It's
bop bop, bip
bip-bop.
bop,
Yeah.
whip bop wham. It's
Wham.
like almost like the name game. Like, bip bop, bip bop bop, grip grop, grip grip grop. And you go.
Yeah.
That's the other part is the Linda with the lazy.
Oh, yeah.
And you go.
It's yeah,
I do
for
like when Linda gives that little sort of like doo 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 doo
yeah,
doo
she
background.
does.
That's kind of cool. But twice now, we got two songs and we don't have any freaking lyrics to grab
No,
onto.
8 minutes.
8 minutes. Oh, Bebop is way
Way
long,
too
too.
long, yeah. So off to a rockin' start here with these two. And I know you're a big fan of the fact that we get to hear them again. As if that wasn't enough, you get to hear them later in the album. So we'll get to those in due time. So far we've had two pretty weak originals, and
Yeah,
then
it's a real rough start to
yeah.
me. I think in putting them back to back like that doesn't work
No,
to me.
no.
Bebop is just, I mean, if they had spent these are the two most underbaked to me because it's like they're almost there. It's like if you just left the casserole in for another 20 minutes, you had delicious casserole instead of this sort of weak, uncooked in the middle thing. You know,
So you go from two weak, undercooked songs to then a cover of Love is Strange, which we've talked about before as well, I think.
I love this. I absolutely love it. And this is one song where the length works for me.
It is a little long.
And
It's
the it's
five
a little
minutes.
long, but I like it. I like it. I like the because the first half of the song is just sort of like
Takes a
a
while to get
warm-up.
going.
Yeah. And then I like that the mood of the singing is a lot different than a lot of Paul songs that you hear. At the start, it's sort of like they're singing together, but it's very like kind of relaxed and like love is strange. yeah, yeah. But by the end of the song, then we get full Paul like, you know I would take it to me. Yeah, so it totally works for me. I really enjoy this one, and it's become one of my favorite kind of underrated Paul songs.
Yeah.
Because of all that.
I like it too. I like the edit version better because it gets a little bit quicker. It just sort of takes a while. You got the do 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 do, and as I was saying, the drums to me seem a little weak throughout, so you hear a lot of the drums. Sort of takes a while to get moving, but it's effective, and it's the reggae style that we know Linda was a big fan of and Paul is a big fan of, so I think it works. I think it works pretty well.
And I think that reggae stuff, and particularly the guitar is very kind of reggae style.
Yeah,
staccato kind of.
Yep. Yeah.
Is interesting because you don't hear a lot of Paul stuff like that. So it's a new kind of fresh. This is what them sort of finding themselves in this album a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
You do get an experiment like this that they wouldn't stick with. You don't hear too many more songs that are like Love is Strange. But it makes it sort of, in retrospect, very refreshing.
Because
it's like, oh, this is a real different kind of sounding Paul song.
Yeah, yeah, it stands out for that. Because there's not a lot like that even in his... And he was pretty young here. And to this day, we don't have a lot like this at all.
One thing I don't know. Do you know this? Who did this originally and who is this a cover of? I didn't look that material up.
The original song is called... Well, Love is Strange, from 1956 by the rhythm and blues duet Mickey and Sylvia. Mm. But, interestingly enough, the guitar riff was written by Bo Diddley under the name of his wife. So, yeah, the song was recorded by Bo and Buddy Holly. So, yeah, a very popular hit. So, their version works, I think. It's... As I say, I prefer the bonus. The McCartney Archive Collection does have the edit version, so I like that one. It's about a minute shorter.
And we're to agree to disagree because I really like the full version.
I know you do.
The long full version. I prefer all the. It's just a little more guitar at the beginning, and takes a while to get into it. And there's a couple times of that dum 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 with the little pattern stuff. So. I kind of like it's sort of different feeling, different flavor to that song.
Definitely.
And okay, now I have no idea. Like we've talked about this over the years, but after a full week of listening to this, this is the one I really am interested to hear what your take is on Wildlife.
The title track here, ending side one of the album. Well, way too long.
Oh,
6 minutes and 50 seconds. Almost 6:48, so way too long.
Do you think they do the last minute of just a dur 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 dur
dur dur dur dur? No.
Whatever happened to
whatever? No, I don't.
It's like a long. It's like a long jam that you would expect. That there's a amazing guitar solo.
Yeah,
and there's some good guitar work in this song. So why that last minute doesn't have nothing. Just a guitar solo that's like really taking you somewhere.
Yeah,
I don't know.
No, and lyrically, well, of course, the big joke about this is when he keeps switching between animals and aminals in the zoo for no apparent reason. It's not my favorite. I would say it's almost dreck. It's pretty awful. Pretty awful. The beginning of it is weird because you have this acoustic Paul singing in a very sweet voice.
The word wild applies to the words you and me.
That's right. Okay. So you've got that and you're expecting a different song. Very repetitive. Just that same.
So it's like you life and me.
You life. Yeah.
You and me life.
Whatever happened to?
Well, that's why I feel like the song has a mixed, odd message that doesn't quite come together. I know that he got the idea from the song from seeing a sign that said, you know,
he tells us
the wildlife has the right of way.
Yes.
Here.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, that'd be a great song. But I don't know that he lands the, I know he's trying to like draw a line between that and that humans are animals too. Mm-hmm. And, but it just doesn't make any sort of sense.
No.
What the point, what the true message is. Maybe our listeners would disagree and they really, really understand the song and they really are like, come on, guys, you're being so harsh on this.
Yeah.
And like that. But to me, it just kind of like is kind of, once again, nonsense.
Yeah.
The only song in the first side here that's made any sense is Love is Strange, which isn't Paul's writing.
Right.
So to me, I mean, this one makes the most sense of the other
thing. Of the, well, compared to Mumbo and Bip Bop, not the low bar here. if you want me to say something positive about Wildlife, I'll say I like the background vocals are pretty cool for a while. With yes. The swoops and the Wildlife, I like that.
I was going to say that's the first real hint of that kind of classic Wings.
Yes.
Vocal backup between Denny and Linda.
Yes.
So I do enjoy that, and I like the lead guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
Particularly that one solo where
yeah, that one works.
Yeah.
But generally just 6 minutes and 48 seconds too long. So.
So this should be 0 seconds.
No, I'll go. You know.
Well, that's so. Why I was, if this had a single edit, I think maybe I'd enjoy it a little bit more.
It could help.
No aminals and
some serious. We wonder why Paul's voice is in the condition it's in. It's because he's using it on songs like this and just screaming on this one, like Monkberry Moon Delight. It's the same kind of sound.
The other lyric I always find puzzling in this is
political nonsense in the air.
That's exactly it.
Uh-huh.
It's like to run. It runs totally counter, particularly hearing and watching that documentary, the 1971. The I know that there's political nonsense, but it's so vague. It's sort of like that song we were talking about from Ringo.
Oh yeah,
a couple of years ago, where he was being so vague
about a certain president.
Yeah,
but we all knew. Yeah.
We knew who he was talking about, but he was being so obtuse and vague about the stuff. What political nonsense is Paul talking about here?
Yeah.
Do you know?
I'm guessing something with animal rights. I'm assuming, but that's not clear. That's not apparent.
And there's so much going on.
Yeah.
That you need in that era that you need to be clearer.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the war? Is it,
right.
You know? Is it
stuff in England, the Irish, and we know that he recorded "Give Ireland Back to the Irish." I mean, who knows? There's all sorts of stuff going on.
Yeah,
so
you could take it to the other extreme, and then you get John's Attica State. You know, where it's like so specific,
so blatant,
specific about one thing that it's hard to. It sort of after a couple of years, kind of loses all of its meaning, and now it's like, okay, well that's almost like a novelty song about.
Right. A certain
a very
time.
Specific thing.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I just don't think that the Wildlife works.
No.
Pulls it together. It's just sort of like a garbledygook of stuff that doesn't make much sense. No. So,
well, let's flip the record over. And we've got this is also, the album has only 8 songs if you look at the original, the way it's listed, although we have the links that are then given separate tracks on the 1993 and beyond, but you only got 8 tracks, but it's a very long album. And turning the album over, we have another very long song, though I will say it's a better song, but 6 minutes and 35 seconds, Not Needed, Some People Never Know.
I really do like this song though. It's very, very relaxed.
Sweet. It's a very,
very
kinda,
sweet, very kind, kind of soft song.
Yes.
And I think that this album kind of, Love is Strange, Some People Never Know, and kind of Tomorrow, kind of like, are the good, the
yeah,
the, like, that's what the, it should be, that this album and Wings as a whole is this sort of concept of sort of sweeter kind of love, mm-hmm, kind of thing. That's when it works best for me, and I feel like Some People Never Know really works for me.
Yeah,
it does go on a bit long. It, once again, it's like, you know, they're like sort of jamming at the end,
yeah,
and then there's this weird sort of like kind of sound. Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure what it is, like a flute or something.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know.
And I'm like, what? Why do we need this? Why do we need this extra minute of this? I don't know, but it doesn't bother me, and I kind of like how it ends. So yeah, this one to me is a thumbs up.
Yeah,
even at the length it is at.
I agree. It's it strikes me as very much like it could fit into the McCartney album pretty well. It's got that homey, like you said, very relaxed sound, kind of two people very much in love like Paul and Linda were. So it's very, now there's a derogatory term that a lot of people have seen for Paul McCartney, which is pillow soft. And this is the style of music that's pillow soft, and this would definitely fall under that. But it's catchy. It's got a nice bridge. Musically really nicely done. And I like it. Yeah, I like it.
The melody is really good.
Yeah.
Some people can sleep at nighttime believing that love is a lie. I'm only a person like you. Love and who in the world can be right all the right time. I know I was wrong. Make me right.
A little repetitive with the use of right, I think.
It's that's true. So there is a little bit of, once again, a very, very, very slightly underbaked lyrically.
Yeah.
But this one works for me. I really do like it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
And I also like it towards the end. He drops sort of like the prettiest thing. Some people never know. Very understated kind of ending kind of vocal. So
right.
I like it.
Yeah, I think it works despite the length. Then we have actually a very short one, although some might say it feels long. I Am Your Singer next, which is kind of a duet between Paul and Linda.
Yeah.
And
this one is okay. It's not objectionable,
mm-hmm,
but it is not something that I ever like really seek out.
No,
it's a probably as close to a C like as you can get, you know.
Yeah, I would agree. It's a little bit out of tune. The singing, the performance is out of tune. You've got that flute thing. The tooting the flute there.
Yeah.
I will say it's got a very cool chord progression when singing your love song to you. So it's got some cool chords to it. But generally, like you said, underbaked again. It could take another run through, another couple rehearsals, and it'll shine. So, but here it just sort of sounds weak, I think.
Yeah. If you want to talk weak, Dave, why the hell? Good God, why is Bebop Link right here? What is this adding?
52 seconds of just a reminder of what that great riff of Bebop.
And additionally just sounds terrible. Like the guitar sounds bad.
It sounds processed or something.
Yeah. It's like, oh, let's get, and why?
Because Paul likes cycles, and he likes albums that have kind of reminders. How many times has he done this through his career, where at the end of 1985, what do you hear? Band on the Run comes back. So he likes to have these thematic things that go through a whole album.
How is this a thematic anything?
It's not. It's
you
terrible.
You can't even tell it's bebop.
No.
It's just like...
No. It sounds
him
awful.
Him playing a little bit of crappy sounding guitar for half a minute.
Yeah.
And then we go into the next song. So I just...
Yeah.
It's F for bebop league.
F. Well, fortunately, it's redeemed by the next song, which we've talked about before. We're both big fans.
Saves the album,
actually. Yeah. And that's Tomorrow, which we've talked about. I don't remember which show, but we've talked about it in some detail, so we don't have to say a lot. But it is, it's like classic McCartney falsetto singing. Very nice, evocative setting of having bread and cheese with your loved one. And
Tomorrow, that great line, tomorrow when we both abandon
sorrow. Yeah.
It's so beautiful. And what a great, beautiful thought. And then I think we even got into the fact that it's called Tomorrow and it's like talking about enjoying each other. Tomorrow and not today.
It's hopeful.
So that's kind of like, so he's in wonderful voice.
Yes.
On this, you know, lots of great things to love about Tomorrow. So it's a thumbs way up.
Yes.
Clearly best song in the album, hands down.
Yep. And a very underrated song even to this day because it was never, you know, you didn't get any airplay or wasn't single or anything. So it's definitely a underrated McCartney gem.
Yeah, I think maybe had they come out of the gates and this was their lead single, then maybe this would have a little bit of a better reputation as an album. But and it is clearly the best song in the album.
Yes. Next, the last kind of real song is this. This one gets a lot of talk because of the subject, supposedly.
Yes.
Dear Friend.
So I'd like to put that aside for a second.
Okay.
Just the whole connotations that go with all of that. Just as a song, are you on the fence about this one as I am, Dave?
I am.
I don't understand why it doesn't come together. It just doesn't feel like a completed real song.
You nailed it. We always hear, I think, about how great this song is and how it's such an epic production because there's orchestration on it and it's supposed to be all together, but it leaves me flat.
It feels incomplete, but at the same time, way too long.
Yeah, way too long. Another 6-minute special here. Think of like Backseat of My Car. Also, is pretty epic, but way better song. And Light Years ahead of this. I don't know what it is about it. It feels very draggy, maybe the tempo. It's like monotonous sounding.
Yeah. Or is it true? Dun, 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 dear friend. It's sort of like it does, the turn there is nothing.
Yeah.
Sort of like just starts and stops. So it just doesn't click for me.
No.
I want to like it too. I want to be like, oh, that's great. Now I will say this: you can download and please go to Paul's website and enjoy a free download of the Dear Friend Orchestra Up because it's better. Because what's more interesting on this is the orchestra.
Yeah, the arrangement.
And there's more sax on that one, and there's more intense sort of swelling and coming down, and it works a lot better, I think. So that's my preferred version of this song, and it almost puts it up there to like a thumbs up, but to me, it's another thumbs down.
I hate to say it. Now you mentioned we were putting aside the elephant in the room here, which is supposedly... It was an attempt at reconciliation with John Lennon. It followed Lennon's attack on McCartney in How Do You Sleep, which had been retaliation for Too Many People. And
explain to me how Are You a Fool reconciling?
Are you a fool?
Or is it true?
I don't know.
Really, truly. is the lyric here? Really, truly young and newly wed. not a great lyric.
No, no.
I've never gotten that part of it.
No.
How this is, you know, probably true that he wrote this in response to that.
Mm.
Here we keep going back and forth. And I'm over the whole, oh, this song, back and forth, and how do you sleep? And then mm-hmm. he wrote this, and then they wrote letters to each other. And you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm over all of it, personally. It's old history.
It is. And this...
I mean, I know we're digging into it. We're analyzing yeah. it. But it's sort of like that whole thing doesn't improve the song to me
no.
at all.
No.
That's
no.
why I was saying set it aside, listen to the song, and it's like, mm.
Yeah, as a song, no. Yeah. I think it leaves you wanting. There's something missing in it.
The worst thing about the song to me, too, is the ending. And this is sort of the ending of the album. And this song just peters out. It's sort of, right?
Yeah. Basically. Basically just dies out. Yeah. But then, aren't you happy it's saved by the Mumbo link right after?
Even worse. Even worse. Even worse. Even more unneeded than Bip-Bop link. Why? 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 I would have taken literally anything from the bonus material. 20 seconds of African Yeah Yeah ends this album. And then I'm like, okay, well, that's
all right. Yeah. Instead of Mumbo link.
Instead of Mumbo link. Absolute garbage. Another F. Another. Two F's on this album, Dave. Bip-Bop link and Mumbo link. The most worthless things in the entire catalog.
Yeah, it sounds bad. Yeah. Ugh. So, yeah. weak ending.
That's it. So, this album, let's review here.
Oh, boy.
Weak start. Listen, Tony, why? And then bip bop, bip bop,
whip bop, whip boom, wham.
Whip bop, wham. Put your head in quarters. And then gets better, with some mixed results.
Mm-hmm.
And then bip bop, blink. And then great song tomorrow. And then
yeah.
sort of a tune with some good orchestration. And then Mumbo link. That peters out, the dear friend, too.
Yeah.
And then Mumbo link. So it's hard to say. We said some positive things at the top about how the sound improved on mm-hmm. it, and some of the instrumentation sounds better, and some of the backup vocals definitely sound good. And there's some of those elements of the Wings sound that we'll get, you know, in great effect on some of the future albums. But this has to be down there on the list of Paul albums. It just can't be that high.
If I were to give this a ranking, a scale of 1 to 10, I don't know, maybe it's a 5 or maybe
5.5.
Mm-hmm.
I like Some People Never Know a little better than you. 5.5 can't be a 6 though.
No,
can't be as high as a 6.
Mm-mm. No, yeah. I mean, really, of the three of the songs that we've talked about here that we actually like, we've got Love is Strange, Some People Never Know, and Tomorrow. That's only 3 songs, so that's not a lot to go on.
And then there's some decent elements too.
Yeah,
I'm Your Singer, Wildlife, mm-hmm. and Dear Friend, but all of them are sort of middling.
Yeah.
We're torn about it. We like it sometimes. We don't like it other times. And then Bip-Bop's garbage. And Mumbo is at least
underbaked.
Irritating garbage in the...
Some good histrionics. Some great histrionics in there, at least.
I tried to sing along with it, though. That's the sort of screams... squelching
at yeah
it's hard to replicate
it is so should we go ahead and talk quickly about the bonus tracks or bonus material?
I think we should now.
Okay.
Once again, just want to mention I do like the rough mix, and it is, I mean, it's all the songs again, but being a rough mix, you're sort of like, all right, well, I'm gonna forgive it its foibles and just enjoy the kind of rough mixy kind of vibe of it and realize that it is just kind of like jamming.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as that goes, it is interesting to hear all these songs again in a different form because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Seek that out. Check it out. Now, this other disc, the other one that is available, it is mostly little rough demos and goofing off in the backyard kind of stuff. What do you take on all of that? The most famous being Hey Diddle.
You've got a lot of homey type recordings here. So you can hear the kids in the background. You can hear Linda. I don't know. It sounds like they're high a bunch of times, like they're giggling and stuff. You have these little guitar doodles that are not very memorable or useful. These outtake 1, 2, and 3, which are just filled space. Hey Diddle.
Indeed I do.
Yeah. Kind of cute. I like there's some nice Linda background vocals on that one. It's sort of hammy Paul.
Yeah. Probably the most substantial of all of this is When the Wind is Blowing.
Totally forgettable. Totally, just like a bad mix. I can't hear the vocals on that. The sort of nonsense, like nothing is happening. It's sort of just chords playing.
Yeah, it's sort of like an abandoned tune.
Yeah.
I didn't ever quite get that one done.
Right. That. Yeah. Exactly. Like unfinished.
There's two more Dear Friends. I didn't need.
No.
What's your take on Great Cock and Seagull Race?
I believe that was a Denny Seiwell and Paul collaboration. Mm-hmm. So not great.
Yeah, it's instrumental,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of, if once again, forgettable.
Yeah.
So the most standout things on this that are at least some version of positivity. Give Ireland back to the Irish.
Yeah.
You like that line, Great Britain is tremendous.
Sounds like something Donald Trump would say. Great Britain is tremendous.
What's your take on Give Ireland back to the Irish? Have we ever talked about that?
No, we should actually do a discussion about Paul and John's Irish songs, because you've got John's The Luck of the Irish and Sunday, Bloody Sunday, and then you've got Paul's version here of it. This is Screamin' Paul, and it's okay. It's a little, I think it's over the top, probably a little
well
much.
He was taught earlier in the album, I mean, I know this isn't a track that's on the album,
right,
but in a track on the album he's like, oh, this political nonsense,
yeah,
stay out of it.
And then here
and
we
now
are,
he's deep dive directly into the middle of the hottest issue of the time, and taking a very staunch, perhaps correct opinion on it. So it's very disjointed from his usual takes, which is just kind of like, oh, you know, we just wanted to sing about love and
love and peace and
Even his other song, the most similar song to this that you can think of in his catalog is Mull of Kintyre,
right,
where it's like, oh, we're talking, you know, we're singing a song about a national British thing. I don't know. I kind of like it. There's some, I mean, as far as a song, it's kind of like fun to sing along with. There's some, oh, Dave, this Give Ireland Back to the Irish version 2 that they give us is so annoying. Diddle, diddle, diddle.
A lot of diddling on the guitar. Yeah, it's kind of irritating.
Yeah. If you ever wanted to hear Give Ireland Back to the Irish and it totally annoy you, then check that one out.
Yeah. So,
and then the Love is Strange single version, and then African is sort of like kind of a silly fun that I think that these bonus discs are made for, which is like totally doesn't bother me.
No.
Actually, it probably would bother me if it was on the album.
But here it's just kind of fun. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun, and he's just like, yeah.
It's okay.
So it's okay. But as a general package, Dave, this one doesn't. I mean, the album isn't as up to snuff as anything else we've talked about, really.
No.
Someday maybe we'll sit down and do our definitive rankings, but
right.
This has to be towards the bottom.
It has to be. I mean, you don't have much to work with. That's part of the problem here. It's weak material from the beginning, so he's just scraping whatever he has. So,
On the DVD, you get the Scotland 1971, which is just him in the backyard goofing off, which is where you get Hey Diddle. And I will say they used a lot of that footage in the Wingspan documentary.
That's right. That's right.
Which is the first time we were subjected to Hey Diddle and those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And then The Ball, okay, which is just footage of people arriving for a ball.
Yes.
Then ICA Rehearsals. This is like them practicing My Love and a couple, I believe, Wildlife and maybe The Mess. And then Give Ireland Back to the Irish Rehearsal, which is them sort of like just standing around playing that. And that's it on this bonus DVD. It's a real weak bonus DVD. So the whole package as a whole is still being sold on his site for $149.
Wow.
Just can't imagine.
No way.
I'm sure the books are probably great and the pictures and all that, but as a general whole, it's just very wanting.
How much is he selling Red Rose Speedway for? Because that package actually had a lot more.
Well, that's the
to
that's
recommend
the,
it.
The, yeah, that's the thing is Red Rose Speedway. Let's So the in the McCartney, and these are prices from the McCartney shop. The Red Rose Speedway Deluxe Edition is $199.
Oh my gosh! Wow.
So that's a but you get CD 2 is the double album. The version, and then you get two DVDs. One of them has the James Paul McCartney TV special. You get Bruce McMouse.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And you get, some other stuff there. So,
yeah, you get a little more for your money.
Yeah, that like the 1882, two versions of that, and Jazz Street, which isn't on the streaming services. And some, so you get a little bit more for your money, but still, I feel like they're overpriced when. Here we are buying one of the last things we reviewed, the John Lennon Plastic Dono set, which was a reasonable price, and you feel like I'm still going through this.
I know. That's gonna that rewards a lot of listening and time. I feel like these sets are you won't listen to them too often, probably.
Yeah. No, I'm gonna put this album away. We've been listening for a week.
Me too. I think it's enough.
I think it's going to be on the shelf for quite some time.
I agree. So well, that's our review of Wildlife.
I'm sorry, everyone.
Yeah,
I know you're
going to be honest.
Blast us and you guys are not fans.
You hate
you guys
McCartney.
Hate Paul McCartney personally. We got to dig into these. Another one we never got to was Pipes of Peace.
Yes, that's right. We'll come back around to that one at some point too.
Yeah. I'll say if you compare the Wildlife to something like Pipes of Peace or something like in the 80s, at least the orchestration and the mixing and all that is not that 80s kind
that's
of like
true.
Plastic sound. These are real instruments and real guitars and stuff.
True.
Maybe muddied still even after the cleaning up, like you said about the drumming and everything. So
it's a rough listen. So anyway, let us know what you think on our Facebook page or Twitter or at I've Got a Beatles Podcast at hotmail.com, and we'll be happy to
tell us if we are a fool or if it's true.
Exactly. So well, I'm gonna go cleanse my ears out and so thanks for listening as always, and we'll be back at you soon with another episode.